My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to take us home. We read in the letter of St. Jude, starting in the 20th verse, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." The Word of God. Please be seated. I've always been something of a news junkie. I even have my favorite news websites as little icons on my desktop so that I can get to them quickly. But, you know, I'm starting to wonder if a person can be too tuned in to the news, tuned in to his own detriment. Because, I mean, these days the news is so depressing. Wars and violence and terror and disasters like the fires out in California, death everywhere. It's dispiriting how our leaders lie and cheat and line their own pockets, and they don't consider the best interests of the nation, but are beholden to special interest groups and large donors and vocal extremists. As they say, the world is going to you know where in a handbasket. And we are stuck watching it on the news as everything swirls down the drain. But of course, as Christians, none of this should surprise us or alarm us or depress us, since we know from the scriptures that the wickedness is only going to increase as the end draws near. And that's the message that comes through so loudly and clearly in these last Sundays of the church year. And in a gospel reading like the one we read today from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus references the tribulation of those last days. And the Lord's counsel for us then, in view of these coming days, is be on your guard, stay awake, you don't know the hour of his coming. This world is passing away, but God's word is forever. So hang in there, stay faithful, lest he come and find you sleeping. Now Jude, the brother of James and of Jesus, offers us similar counsel in his epistle, but for a different reason. Jude is not so much concerned with what's going to be happening in the world. What's weighing on his mind is what will be happening in the church. Listen to what he says earlier in his epistle. He says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality," or licentiousness is the way the King James says it, "and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Jude is concerned about the false teachers who creep into the church unnoticed to pervert the grace of our God and turn it into licentiousness, a license to sin. These false teachers are giving permission to God's people to do whatever they darn well please, because after all, we are forgiven. In essence, they are saying, God loves you just as you are. Don't change anything. It is a theological jujitsu. And quite literally, the Japanese word jujitsu means to yield, to give way, to blend, which is exactly what this kind of false preacher does. His words give permission to God's people to yield to the culture, to give way to the trending sexual standards, to blend with the world's ways of thinking and speaking and behaving, to be conformed to this world, because after all, God loves you, and He wouldn't pass judgment on a fly, much less you. And if you're not sure what this perversion of the grace of God looks like in the church, let me give you just a few examples. Last January, and like every January, churches like ours were marking the anniversary of Roe v. Wade by praying for an end to the murderous atrocity of abortion. But while we were doing that, in Bethesda, Maryland, a group of clergy had gathered at one of the few abortion clinics that still does late-term abortions to protest. Oh no, not to protest, but to bless the clinic and the abortions that happened there. Reverend Carlton Veazey prayed that day for the workers in that abortion clinic, and he said, "Lord, keep them safe and strong, and may they always know that all they do is for Thy glory. We sanctify this space and we honor it as holy." Lord, have mercy. Grace perverted into a license to kill for our own convenience the innocence of that life that God authored in the womb. No wonder Jude is so concerned for the church. And then earlier this month, the famously pro-LGBT pastor, Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber of the ELCA, came out and said that the consumption of pornography should not be shamed. And that is mild compared to most of what she says. I can't even mention it. Probably should to make you aware, but I can't bring myself to mention it. And this is a so-called pastor who turns the grace of God into sensuality, into a license to do whatever you want. And she was chosen to be a featured speaker for over 30,000 ELCA youth at their summer conference. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Other teachers teach that Jesus did not do miracles, that God did not create the world in 6 days, that most of what is attributed to Jesus in the Gospels He did not really say, that Jesus did not really die and rise. And the Baptist pastor, Reverend Jeff Hood, teaches that polyamory, having multiple sexual partners, is a God-pleasing option to monogamous marriage. And on it goes. This is in the church. And the words of Jude echo in our ears. Certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and who deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. My fear is that even though God's Word has been preserved among us in its truth and purity, that these kinds of depraved teachers are having an impact on you and especially on our youth, chipping away at what Jude calls the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And listen to the way Jude talks about these kinds of teachers. He says to them in his epistle, "Woe to them! Woe to them because they walk in the way of Cain." That is, they are murderers of God's people. He says they are hidden reefs because they cause an unsuspecting church to shipwreck. He says they are waterless clouds. They look like they have something nice to offer us, but they are devoid of anything that is beneficial. He says they are fruitless trees, twice dead, twice because they have no roots in the words of God, and their preaching produces only rotten fruit. And he says they are wandering stars, worthless to anyone who wants to navigate the way of life and of godliness. They practice a theological jujitsu. That's me, that's not Jude, but a theological jujitsu. Yield to the culture, blend with its values, give way to its ethics in a misguided and deluded effort to try to stay relevant. These are the kinds of people who would say to the woman who was caught in adultery, "Now go your way and keep doing what you're doing." But what does God's word say? Isaiah 1, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good." And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The faith that was once handed to the saints does not call for Christians to yield, to give way, to blend in, but to be transformed by God's word into something that's different than what we see in the world and in popular culture. A holy people who are set apart for God, a people contending for the faith that was given to us in the word and fighting against those spiritual forces of evil that pop up even in the church. And you thought the world was going off the rails? So let me offer you this encouragement. As even the church, in the end of days, as even the church goes off the rails and false teachers proliferate, and entire church bodies are yielding to the culture, and the most shocking blasphemies against God come not from the world, but from the church, let's us hang in there and hold tenaciously to the faith that was once handed to the saints and fight for it, contend for it. And here's how. First of all, remember that God's mercy does not let unrepentant sinners off the hook. But we read in verse 5 of Jude's epistle, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." You see, the same Jesus who saved Israel also condemned Israel's unrepentant. And the same is true for us. Jesus came the first time to save us out of our slavery to sin and death by taking sin upon himself and dying in our place in the greatest act of mercy we've ever seen. And all who repent and who believe in him are forgiven and are sealed in their baptism for eternal life. But that is not a license to sin with impunity in the false belief that mercy means sin will never be judged. Cursed be every preacher who says otherwise. As the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ." Or as Jude says it, "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way." But you hang in there, clinging to God's mercy in Jesus Christ, while staying mindful of the impending judgment upon the unrepentant. And second, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude says, You, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. How you keep yourselves in the love of God is really no mystery. The Spirit keeps you in God's love as you worship, as was suggested in the children's sermon this morning. And as you hear the Word of God, and as you pray in the Holy Spirit, confident that He is helping you and interceding for you, and as you receive the Holy Supper, and as you encourage each other as fellow Christians in the assembly of believers, hang in there by staying close to God in His Word and in His church. And third, hang in there by hating sin, but loving sinners. Verses 22 to 23, St. Jude writes, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." We hang in there as we busy ourselves, loving others, showing mercy, doing what we can to reach to the lost and the unrepentant, to snatch them from the fire of hell, loving sinners, while also at the same time being very careful that their attitudes and their lives don't stain us, and that their sins don't become our sins. Hang in there by hating sin, but loving the sinner. And most of all, pay careful heed to Jude's concern for the church and those false teachers who will infiltrate the church to turn God's mercy into a license to sin. Jesus' death and resurrection indeed liberates us from sin, but not to sin, so that when He comes, we may stand before His presence with great joy. Therefore, repent, stay watchful, do not fall asleep, because as we confess in the Creed, He will come to judge the living and the dead. But in Christ, God's grace is bigger than His anger, and His mercy triumphs over judgment, so that when the world and the church are going off the rails, and the end is near, the promise of St. Jude will ever comfort us that until He comes, He, Jesus, is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before His presence with great joy. And so, in praise to Christ, we say, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. And amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.